Harvey Wasserman's Green Power and Wellness Show, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Right, but don't you know we're going to have a solartopia? That was the beautiful Dar Williams singing about digging into the ground. Pete Seeger before that with the great David Burns doing the solartopia song. This is Harvey Wasserman. We're here for another hour of the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. I'm in Boston, Massachusetts with Vivian Simon, a life coach and longtime cancer activist or anti-cancer activist. And we are joined by Dan Kenner. Dan, are you there?
I'm right here.
Okay, Dan Kenner is the author of The Whole Body Workbook for Cancer, and we are, as we did last week, I was in Tijuana, Mexico last week, talking to you from the Contreras Clinic, and today we are in Newton, Massachusetts, at the home of Vivian Simon, talking to you about Dan Kenner's excellent book, A Complete Integrated Program for Increasing Immunity and Rebuilding Health, The Whole Body Workbook for Cancer. We'll be talking about alternative cures, cures, which is something to do with the Contreras Clinic. For those of you who have cancer, have friends. I don't know anybody in this country who doesn't have a friend or relative that doesn't have cancer. So we're going to deal with that today. Alternatives. I did want to start before I lose track. Vivian and I watched the movie 50-50 last night. Dan, have you seen 50-50?
I haven't seen it yet.
It's a movie about a young man in his 20s who comes up with a very, very severe malignant tumor in his spine and how he copes with it. Viv, do you remember the names of the stars of this movie?
Seth Rogen,
yeah. And another young man, they did quite a good acting job. I found the end to be a little realistically optimistic, but unrealistically optimistic, let's put it that way, but nonetheless, it was pretty riveting, pretty powerful. Didn't pull a whole lot of punches about the impacts of cancer on a young man. So I did want to point out we here at the Solartopia Green Power Hour, Green Power Wellness Show, deal with issues of the environment and of health. And so today is another health-oriented show, but I wanted to point out at the beginning that I have posted a piece at nukefree.org, which I edit with Bonnie Rae Jackson Brown and Graham Nash, nukefree, nukefree.org, and my latest piece talks about this week's approval by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission of the first new construction and operating license for a new nuclear plant in the United States since 1978. It is a ridiculous and irresponsible decision on the part of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. The vote was 4-1. Ironically, the chair of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, Gregory Jasko, voted against the license, saying that the industry has not yet incorporated the lessons of Fukushima into the licensing of new nuclear plants. And so what he's saying essentially is that this new AP1000 Westinghouse design that they want to build with federal loan guarantees and ratepayer money at Vogtle, Georgia, is really not even more advanced than we were before Fukushima on 3/11, so of 2011. So this is a dangerous situation. My piece talks about how we really, the industry is really on its heels anyway, and this new license is an absurdity because nobody's spending money to build new nuclear plants outside of government subsidies and raping and pillaging the ratepayers. In Japan now, where there are upwards of 60 reactors licensed, only two or three are operating. It's staggering. And of course, Germany has decided to shut all its nuclear plants by 2020. or 2022. And here in the United States, there are no, except for the two at Volktil and two in pre-construction in South Carolina, there are no nuclear plants under construction. So this is an industry that's been priced out of the market by a major revolution in renewables. And it's something that we are going to have to continue to fight, but it is what I consider to be the 20th century's most expensive failed technology. Now, cancer is a major byproduct. Some would say the most significant product of nuclear power. Radiation coming from nuclear power plants causes cancer all over the world. We have a study that now indicates upwards of 1 million people were killed by Chernobyl, almost all of them by cancer. The cancer rate around Fukushima and downwind and down and in the waters actually is going to be horrific. I happen to know personally that people died from cancer as a result of radiation releases from Three Mile Island. And so we have a global epidemic on our hands. And what we're going to deal with today is what happens when the epidemic strikes home, when you or a loved one are diagnosed with cancer, and how you deal with it. So, Vivian, you have had a lot more experience than most people with cancer. You have three friends for whom you work on alternative cures. You had a question for Dan about his excellent book. Let's start with that.
Hi, Dan. Nice to meet you.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
So I run a support group for women who have completed Western medicine treatments and are now in recovery and rebuilding their lives. And your book is one of the two that I recommend most highly. I think it's an excellent book, so congratulations for getting that out. So what I would like to ask to start this off with, it's a great book. I like your seven steps. It covers all the same things that I would cover. And for everybody who's been through treatment, the rebuilding they all talk about is much worse than the treatments themselves. Their bodies are left just completely ravaged. They can't concentrate. They have no energy. Oftentimes from surgery, there's serious limitations that they're now facing. Looking at the whole system that you've set up and the research you've done, for people who are coming back to families, usually work, a lot to do in their lives, they don't have much energy, they want to start rebuilding their immunity system and rebuilding their health and getting their energy, on a practical level, where do you recommend people start? What's the first place to start, and how do you build from there?
Well, I think the first place to start is dealing with any residual symptoms. And there is a chapter in the book about symptoms. The book is Complementary Medicine, and it's written for the people who, the very large majority of people who, with a cancer diagnosis, will undergo conventional therapy. So it's written for them. It's necessary to rebuild the endocrine system, and particularly the adrenals, because there's exhaustion. And one of the things that's actually been studied, researched for that, is ginseng. Various ginseng supplements have been actually used even during chemotherapy, and the results have shown that people feel more energy.
Ginseng has a long history in this country. Of course, it dates back to China as an herbal remedy, but George Washington was a major grower of ginseng, and now, of course, it's an extremely coveted cash crop to the extent that people are going through the woods in various places where ginseng grows and just ripping it out. It's a big situation.
Well, that's true, and it can be endangered, very easily. The American ginseng is not as strong as the Chinese ginseng. But, I should probably put in a plug for Chinese herbal medicine in general, because that is, working with a competent herbal medicine practitioner. I don't really know where you draw the line between a lot of herbs and food, because they'll do things like nourish, the various endocrine glands and help build up the system. And then it's important to build up the immune system, which means, first and foremost, rebuilding the digestive tract. And there are various supplements that can be used for that purpose. But diet, of course, is an important way to rebuild one's entire system. But the mucous membranes in the digestive tract are a very important part of the immune system, and it's necessary to work with that. And then there are various supplements. Most of the supplements that I recommend are actually foods in themselves. And in the book, I mentioned two in particular. One is called AHCC, which is basically shiitake that's been cultured so that it's a fermented product and has very powerful effects on the immune system. And in fact, it's used in over 700 hospitals and clinics in Japan to protect chemotherapy and radiation patients from the side effects.
And can you tell us, Dan, real quickly, what are some of the side effects of chemotherapy?
Well, the chemotherapy side effects, in particular, chemotherapy damages the rapidly replicating cells that have a very fast turnover. And so that includes the hair follicles. That includes, to some extent, the skin, but in particular, the mucous membranes, which have a very rapid turnover rate, which means they're quickly destroyed and quickly produced. These are the ones that are most vulnerable to chemotherapy, and that's what's responsible for the terrible symptoms of nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, that type of thing.
Now, my understanding is that chemotherapy in general cannot distinguish between cancer cells and normal cells. It only kills cells that grow. Is that correct?
That's correct. But the ones with the rapid turnover are the ones that are most vulnerable. Some of the other cells are more resilient against the effects of chemotherapy. And the unfortunate thing about chemotherapy and about cancer philosophy in general is that everyone is going after that tumor. And the tumor is really not the disease. The tumor is a byproduct of the disease. The actual disease is a problem of the entire cellular metabolism, which needs to be corrected. But, you know, as you pointed out, people come out of the treatment feeling even worse, you know, feeling like they've been completely taken apart.
So you said there was a second supplement also that you would recommend. What was that?
Well, Avimar, that's made in Hungary.
And can you spell that?
It's Avemar. There's a little interesting side story about the name, because the guy who was developing it in Hungary prayed to Mother Mary, you know, Mary, Mother of God, please send me some money so I can develop this. And the next day somebody came in and said, I don't know why I'm here, but, you know, I felt like I needed to come and meet you, and gave him the money to develop the product. And so he named it after Ave Maria, or Avemar for short. And it's basically made from wheat germ. And once again, it's a cultured product. It's fermented, which brings in new compounds, anti-cancer compounds that are not in the wheat germ before the fermentation process. And both of these, AHCC and Avimar, have been studied extensively with cancer patients in actual clinical studies, you know, as well as laboratory studies. They're very, very safe. And, you know, another one is
these products that you can get in the U.S.?
Yes, it is available. Both are available in the U.S. And AHCC actually has been studied at MD Anderson and Harvard and Yale and University of California at Davis. So they have a good research background.
Well, you mentioned, I'm going to get to a little more organized presentation here so we can do an overview, but there was one point in your book that really jumped out at me. The mainstream cancer industry, shall we call it, Cancer Inc., essentially says that there are spontaneous remission, in other words, people getting over cancer without doing anything, is very rare. One, and I think you said 60,000, but you have a study that indicates that people actually spontaneously self-cure from cancer at a much higher rate. Can you tell us really what your studies indicate in terms of people who get past cancer without doing much of anything?
Well, that was an interesting study, because it was done in the Netherlands by two university professors. I forget which university, but that's mentioned in the book. They found that spontaneous remission occurs at a much higher rate, but they pursued the data. The data of people who have spontaneous remission is not as much in the medical literature, because people don't go back to their doctor. And in many cases, it's people that have a lifestyle change or a religious conversion or some type of breakthrough in their lives. Now, even though
I understand getting arrested at a nuclear plant causes a lot of spontaneous remission as well. Is that true?
Well, yeah, and there's also the risk of exposure, though. I mean, your point about nuclear radiation being a risk factor is...
Right. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, then. Sorry.
Well, most of the people that I've seen Mostly I'm doing consulting work and writing right now, but I still see a few patients. But through the years, when I was practicing full-time, most of the cancer patients I saw were people who said, there is no way I would ever, ever do chemotherapy and radiation. And so this is who I worked with. And it's a different set of principles from what we find in my book, because in the book, this is for people who are going to do the conventional treatment. But the people who absolutely refuse conventional therapy are very motivated to do whatever it takes. And interestingly enough, there are kind of two categories. There are the people with medical training who say, no way, I've seen that, I'm not going to do it. Or the people who had a loved one undergo the conventional therapy and said, I'm not doing that. You know, I would rather die than do that. So it takes that kind of level of motivation, I think, to really do the necessary work to rebuild the system. Because one thing I like to also emphasize in the book is that the purpose is not to fight cancer, but to build life and to build strength. So the, you know, the seven components of the healing process are about building health, not fighting a disease. And it happens that almost all the recommendations in the book have been researched with cancer patients. So I wanted to produce a book that's very, very safe.
Okay, we are talking with Dan Kenner. He's the author of the Whole Body Workbook for Cancer, a complete integrative program for increasing immunity and rebuilding health. This is Harvey Wasserman with Vivian Simon at the Green Power and Wellness Show. You can call us at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. We welcome your calls. We will not be dispensing advice. The First Amendment in this country does not apply to cancer, but we can talk about that if you like. The FTC, FDA, you name it. Both the Federal Trade Commission and the Food and Drug Administration are very, very, shall we say, restrictive on what can be said about what works and doesn't work for treating cancer. Dan Kenner, you put in your book seven steps for dealing with cancer. You've mentioned them a couple times. Why don't we tell our listeners what they are?
Okay. Well, first of all, there's diet, which we've already mentioned. And then
what about diet, very quickly?
Well, it's important, I think, first of all, it's important to find a diet that's compatible with your body type. And that's kind of a difficult proposition to do just from reading books on nutrition, I think. The Mediterranean diet and the Japanese diets, I think, are very good. But we want to have a diet that's high in vegetables and a diet that's alive and food that's organic. In the next section on detoxification, I try to give some insight into this because I recommend a program of a five-day diet, which is very, very simple, consisting of just steamed vegetables, soups, no oil or meat. Not that they're bad for you, but we want to just unburden the liver for a few days. And then no sugar, coffee, or alcohol. And this process of quote-unquote fasting with food, I think, helps people become sensitive to what their needs are.
Well, I think what you just described would describe for most Americans being stuck in a prison of war camp.
Well, you know, that could be. But all of our ancestors used to have fasting periods, and I'm not recommending fasting. I'm recommending eating for 5 days. And, you know, most people feel really good when they do it. They might go through a little bit of detox for a day or two, but it's not so severe as if they were to actually fast, which I don't recommend trying. I think it's much better to eat, keep nourishing, keep things moving through the system. And the detoxification can be at different levels. The basic level one detox is just get sugar, coffee, and alcohol out of your system for 5 days twice a month. And that's a good starting point. And then from there, you know, you can do elimination diets. And that's, I think, one of the best ways to be able to customize your diet and for people to feel empowered about knowing what their needs are.
Do you recommend enemas and liver cleanses?
That's advanced detoxification, and that, you know, originated with the Gerson program, which is kind of the gold standard of detoxification, and really it's the only way to heal from some types of cancer is to do it at that level of commitment, which is caffeine retention, enemas, and juices, and very simple diet, you know, for months until the liver, you know, is completely regenerated and the system is cleansed. But when I'm working with cancer patients who are motivated and do not want to do the conventional route, you know, yes, that's part of what I recommend.
But can you explain just a little bit more to listeners why detoxification is such an important component?
Well, detoxification is important because of what I call congestion. Congestion occurs at the cellular level when the cells are unable to get nutrients that they need and unable to get their waste products eliminated out of the cellular environment. And this congestion occurs because when our body takes in toxins that can't be processed by the liver shunts them, sends them on into the connective tissue where they're stored up. Now, the connective tissue system is our tendons, our membranes, our muscles, even ligaments, that type of thing, the fat. We can include that. And so toxins that are not processed by the liver or by the kidneys are sent into the connective tissue, and so gradually it becomes stored up. And this storage process gradually threatens the cellular environment, and when the cells become literally choked off from nutrients and oxygen, life goes on, but it creates a new kind of life that's malignant and that's not compatible with the whole system. So when we detoxify, we're not only trying to cleanse the blood and the lymph and the liver, but we need to go a level deeper than that. And that's why a sustained effort is really necessary.
Okay, so what's your next step? Now, we're talking with Dan Kenner here. His book is on Natural Ways, the Whole Body Workbook for Cancer. We're up to the third, I think, point of the 7 steps to healing oneself from cancer. What's your point 3 here?
Yeah. Okay, so we've got diet and we've got detoxification. And then next are supplements. And supplements are really part of the diet. And I just mentioned a couple of supplements that are actually really food substances, like I would classify ginseng as a food for the adrenals, and HCC, Avimar, astragalus is a Chinese herb, and then various vitamins have been shown to have anti-cancer properties and to be deficient in most people's diets. And then the next step I call lifestyle enhancement, which is kind of a generic term for look through your cosmetics, look through your garage, look through your house and working environment for any toxic chemicals that could cause cancer. And there are a couple of tables in the book to tell you what chemical names to look for and that type of thing. But, you know, you may be really careful with your diet, but be using cosmetics or other things, cleaning fluids or that type of thing that have cancer-causing properties.
Well, I'll tell you, I have a naturopath in Minnesota who is really adamant about cell phones and arguing that cell phones really throw the body's chemistry off. And also many people think the same about Wi-Fi. I've had people who, when diagnosed with cancer, got Wi-Fi out of their house and claim it made a difference. What do you think about that?
Well, I have to agree with that. I would include, you know, radiation in this area, too, you know, avoiding X-rays as much as possible. But, you know, I believe that the whole cell phone thing and the whole electromagnetic fields thing is sort of the tobacco of today. You know, back in the early 1950s, tobacco and cigarette smoking was not considered to be a health hazard or a risk factor. Now, of course, we know better. Today, the whole cell phone thing and the electromagnetic field ubiquity is controversial, but there's already a substantial body of information that says that there are effects on biological systems that are non-thermogenic. That means that in the past they said, well, you know, it's not going to hurt you if it doesn't cause the tissues to heat up. But we know now that even if the electromagnetic field or radiation does not cause heating of the tissues, it still can have damaging effects on normal physiological function. So I think that's something that we want to keep very restricted in our lives if we're going to, live out our full term.
Well, this naturopathic healer says that one thing can be done is to walk around with a bag of dirt to have your cell phone grounded. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard anything like that?
Yeah, well, you know, grounding is kind of an up-and-coming therapy because there are people who have found that using various, you know, using wires and different attachments to connect you to the soil, or just standing barefoot, you know, out on the ground has a very strong therapeutic effect. One of the godfathers of German naturopathic medicine, Sebastian Kneipp, recommended standing barefoot facing the rising sun every morning as a practice that was supposed to energize you for the day. So I can't imagine how the grounding would not be helpful.
Yeah. We're talking with Dan Kenner about natural cures, the whole body workbook for cancer. We're proceeding through seven steps of dealing with cancer. I think we're up to,
The fifth step is exercise. And, you know, for most people, probably exercise should be the number one step, because if you really exercise well, you can get away with a little bit more dietary indiscretion. But exercise has important psychological and emotional effects, as well as beneficial physical effects.
I kind of like that phrase, dietary indiscretion. We call it pigging out, but
we call it junking out.
Be more civilized if you like.
Well, then number six is emotional healing, and seven is psycho-spiritual healing. And sometimes I get asked, well, what's the difference? But emotional healing, I associate that with trauma. Trauma has powerful effects on the immune system. And when I talk about trauma, I'm not talking about military combat, although that's the most extreme type of trauma, or, you know, it blows to the head, or sexual assault, that kind of thing. These are all severe traumas, but we all experience some degree of trauma in our lives, loss of loved ones, disappointments. And it's important, if we have any important, significant ones, to sort of root them out and work with them. And there are a lot of ways to do this, and there are some recommendations in there. Talk therapy, you know, it can always be helpful with that, but sometimes it takes other methodologies like, you know, hypnotherapy, things like eye movement therapy, which has been really helpful for even people with even really severe traumas.
Dan, it's not always obvious to people what the connection between trauma and cancer is. Can you spell that out a little more?
Well, first of all, trauma lowers white blood cell activity. Now, Harvey mentioned earlier, and I heard your show last week from Mexico. That was really great. And it was also mentioned in that show that we all have cancer cells. We produce them by the thousands every day. And all living creatures do. So it's not abnormal to produce cancer cells. But something allows them to take hold. Now, one of the mechanisms for destroying the cancer cells are white blood cells that are called natural killer cells, or NK for short. Now, the natural killer cells, their function is drastically reduced by trauma. And in fact, testing the natural killer cell activity could even be a marker for trauma, because it seems to happen with any type of trauma, whether it's psychological, emotional, or physical. It's been studied with hurricanes, earthquakes, self-loathing, criticism by peers. All these types of traumas reduce natural killer cell activity.
I think you can include in that list the election of Republicans to the White House. We're talking with Dan Kenner here. We're going to fade to the break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about natural ways to deal with cancer. Dan, you're an excellent guest. We're at 888-874-4888 if you want to call in. And here we go with Dana Lyons singing Solartopia.
Pipelines, mega dams, Iran, Iraq, Russia, Nigeria, Venezuela, Kurdistan. Oil spill, meltdown, flooding, suburbia, mudslide, traffic jam. Road rage, asthma, famine, leukemia, it's time to get a better plan. Solartopia is home sweet home to me.
All right. Hi, Dana, the great Dana Lyons of Cows with Guns fame. I'm waiting for the Grammy show when Dana gets his Grammy for all the great songs he's done over the years. That's the Solartopia Rocky Top song. We are on with Vivian Simon here in the studio and Dan Kenner talking about natural ways to deal with cancer. Vivian.
So, Dan, just before the break, you were talking about how to understand the connection between emotional healing and cancer. Is there anything more to be said about that?
Well, that is one important mind-body link, you know, the activity of the white cells and how they scavenge and protect us from abnormal cells, virus-infected cells, cancer cells, dangerous microbes, and that type of thing. And we were just coming to, last but not least, the psycho-spiritual healing, which I want to be sure to say a word about, because I think it's very important for not only for survival purposes, but for a person's sense of well-being. And it can even be a factor in healing. You know, there was the psychiatrist Viktor Frankl, who was a psychiatrist in Vienna, was a survivor of a Nazi concentration camp. And he observed that the people that survived the ordeal of being in the concentration camp were people had a sense of meaning or a sense of purpose in their lives. And this is, I think I mentioned that it's a workbook, because at the end of each of these chapters, there are some questions and answers to help people decide which of these healing strategies is being ignored or is more important for them. And it's important for people to at least explore a larger view of the world than just this is my life and I've got this deadly disease and that type of thing. It's important to, I think, expand our lives and expand our awareness as much as possible, and that this can actually be an important part of the cure.
Well, I want to mention real quickly, next week, same time, same place, we will have the great Bernie Siegel as our host, Love and Miracles and all that, talking about exactly this, about the ways to cure disease with the mind-body connection. And you do a nice job in your book, the Whole Body Workbook for Cancer, in dealing with this piece of the puzzle.
So in the book on Chapter 2, you talk about diagnosis and treatment. This has been an issue for a lot of people. How do you actually get an accurate diagnosis short of removing a part of your body and biopsying it? What can you say about that?
Well, this carries us outside of the realm of the conventional. I've worked with I worked with a Chinese group last year, and they're interested in creating a new type of clinic that's built around alternative medicine. And we went to some of the hospitals and clinics in Europe and visited them and, you know, found out what they do. Now, some of them will use something called dark field microscopy and examine the blood, a live blood sample, and look at it through the dark field, which is a microscopic technique that allows you to see different things from just the white light that's normally used. And then there's a group of doctors in France that uses a blood test methodology that's very advanced, that can tell what's going on metabolically behind the scenes. And they're able to tell if cancer is building or if people are responding well to treatment. And then there's a Dr. Emil Chandl, that's Schandl, who has a cancer profile that I think is very advanced and scientifically based, but it hasn't been brought into the mainstream. Now, these are ways of testing the metabolic condition, not necessarily the existence of tumors, because like I was saying before, if we really want to heal from cancer, we have to correct the entire metabolism, not just cut out the tumor at all cost.
Right. Now, let's talk about that for a minute, because I can't do a show about cancer without mentioning that we do know, and everybody knows who's involved in this field, that there is a cure for cancer. And the cure for cancer is to restore the power of the immune system to keep cancer under control. And you, of course, talk about that in your workbook. But you want to elaborate on that bit?
Right. Well, there are some different conditions that allow, you know, like, going back to what we said earlier, that we produce cancer cells every day. Everyone does, healthy or sick. And so the production of cancer cells is not the issue. The issue is, why do they stick? Why do they stay there? And one reason is that the immune system doesn't destroy them properly. But some of the other conditions are, for example, if there's chronic inflammation, inflammatory byproducts will contribute to the growth of the malignant cells. And, of course, low immunity, we've already mentioned, and then oxidative stress. So a very high oxidized diet, for example, lots of food that's overcooked and food that takes out minerals and that type of thing create a condition called oxidation and oxidative stress, which is a typical aging factor. It's something that we all experience as we age. But by eating more antioxidants, which are a plant-based diet, and many supplements are antioxidants, we can slow this down. And those are some of the important factors, the oxidative stress.
Well, that's good. And, of course, that's one of the negatives about corporate cancer. We call it a traditional methods, but they're not traditional methods. Chemo, radiation, and surgery are actually modern technological assaults on cancer or on the body, which I prefer to call corporate cancer.
Right.
Shall we say remedies or attacks or cures, which do work under some circumstances. You point out chemotherapy, for example, has a success rate involving Hodgkin's lymphoma, Hodgkin's disease, and testicular cancer, which, of course, Lance Armstrong had. Apparently, lymphoma, leukemia, some childhood cancers are susceptible to, shall we say, corporate chemo treatments, but my understanding, and you can correct me or elaborate, is that by and large, chemotherapy harms our immune system and in many cases makes a relapse, at very least, almost inevitable. Is that an overstatement of the case?
Yeah, it comes close to destroying the immune system. And in particular, when it damages the bone marrow, we're no longer able to produce red cells, and this creates an extremely debilitating anemia. And if we can't produce white cells, then the immune system is all but gone. And so many people will die of an infection. Then, of course, they're not a cancer death. They died of infection. But one important thing I'd like to say about the tumor reduction is that it is useful to get rid of tumors. It's not like, you know, we want to keep them. And getting the tumor out of the body can be a big unburdening of the immune system. But it's all in how we do it. I think that surgery can be a useful way to do that, but we know now that surgery can promote metastasis, which is the spreading of cancer cells throughout the body. I believe, and this is just my opinion, but I believe that the reason that surgery can accelerate metastasis is because of all the inflammation. And if we can keep the inflammation down around the time of surgery, and I also use something that they mentioned last week at in the interview in Mexico, but
that was at the Contreras Clinic in Tijuana, Mexico.
The Contreras Clinic, right? Using Wobenzym or other type of proteolytic enzymes at the time of surgery can greatly help to keep inflammation down and prevent cancer from spreading.
What do you think about using some of these supplements on a regular basis, even for people who don't have cancer? For example, melatonin, Wobenzym, are those things that you would recommend people to take who are not diagnosed with cancer?
Well, I do. I recommend Wobenzym for just about anyone because it's better than aspirin for preventing thrombotic disease because it
doesn't. Whoa. What's thrombotic disease? Sorry.
It doesn't. Thrombotic disease is blood clots that cause strokes and heart attacks.
Uh-huh.
So thrombosis is a blood clot, and these enzymes will dissolve it. And they won't thin the blood so that you don't bleed to death if you get a cut on your arm. So that's definitely an important one to use. And a lot of the other ones that I mentioned, you know, for example, the AHCC and Avamar, I mean, you can use them for a cold. You can use them for bronchitis. You can use them along with drugs so that you get a better result, you know, from using drugs. So,
well,
yeah,
and it's interesting. I had an interesting experience. I've been taking melatonin, which I really like, and I was taking six micrograms, or is it milligrams? I think milligrams, 6 milligrams a day. And a doctor who I respect a lot in New York City told me that was too much and I should take 3 milligrams instead of 6. And then the clinic in Mexico told me I should take 30.
Uh-huh,
I mean,
right.
How do we reconcile all these different recommendations of dosage on supplements?
Well, I think in Mexico they're going to recommend a higher dose because they're working with cancer patients, and melatonin does have a track record for anti-cancer. But for day-to-day use, I really don't recommend using melatonin at all, at first at least, because melatonin is made out of serotonin. And if we get our serotonin levels up, then the body will make the melatonin. So I use 5-HTP or tryptophan and get the serotonin levels up. And then, sleep becomes easier, and then also people become more responsive to non-toxic, safe, herbal remedies and that type of thing to use for sleep. But dosage is one of the great mysteries of medicine. Everyone's dosage is different, and it's probably different every day, which is why it's much safer to use non-toxic substances, because we know that the third leading cause of death is prescription drugs as prescribed. And it's probably, even higher with some of the prescription drug abuse. But pharmaceuticals are by no means safe, and so it's not good to mess around with the dose on those. But most of the supplements I use, if we're not getting a good effect, we can safely double them and, even triple them with a lot of the herbs.
I'd like to get back for 1 minute to the testing, and it's great to hear about all the stuff that's going on in Europe. I've lived there many times, and they're far more advanced than we are in looking at non-toxic approaches to healing. What's available in the United States if you don't want to have a biopsy?
Well, Dr. Shandl's cancer screening is available. And,
can you spell that?
It's S-C-H-A-N-D-L.
Shandl.
Yeah, Emil, E-M-I-L, Shandl.
Okay.
And he has a couple of panels. One is just a longevity panel. The other one is more cancer-specific. And it's very sensitive, and it's based on real data and real scientific research. It's not guesswork. But, like so many things that are new, it takes them a long time to get into the mainstream, if ever.
So where would someone be able to get in contact with a practitioner to do this test?
I would suggest, finding him online and seeing if they have practitioners they can recommend. Or it may be, I haven't looked at his website in a couple of months, but it may be that you can get a blood draw. And
this is a blood test, Dr. Shandl's is a blood test?
It is a blood test, yeah.
Well, I personally have had a blood test, a hair analysis, two of them actually, and a urine test that involved my sending my urine to the Philippines. The Western practitioners, the corporate practitioners, want you to have a needle stuck in your tumor, or they want to remove the tumor entirely, which in some cases would involve removing an entire organ of the body.
Right, yeah. I don't think the urine test in the Philippines is available. That was Dr. Navarro, and that was testing for, of all things, HCG, which is being highly touted for weight control now. But Dr. Shandl said that HCG is notoriously difficult to test for, and so he has three separate testing strategies on his blood panel to detect the presence of any HCG.
Well, if you were concerned about cancer, and how would you go about being diagnosed? You would do Dr. Shandl. Are there others?
Yes, that's what I would do.
With Dr. Shandl. What does that involve?
I'm sorry, what about what?
What does that involve, using Dr. Shandl?
Is it blood?
You have to have blood drawn?
Yeah, you need to get a blood sample to them, and then they send you a report.
Okay. Now, we're getting down the last 12 minutes here. We're with Dan Kenner. Our number is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. We're talking about Dan Kenner's workbook the whole body workbook for cancer. A complete integrated program for increasing immunity and rebuilding health. Next week, at the same time, on the Green Power and Wellness Show, we will have the great Bernie Siegel talking about the mind-body connection with cancer. Dan, what exactly is cancer? What is it that we're fighting here, and what is the key in the long term that we're not seeing in the society as a whole?
Well, cancer is simply abnormal, unchecked growth like many diseases, it's a normal mechanism that sort of goes haywire. And it's a condition that is a type of anaerobic growth. So it's a strategy that our cells take when there is insufficient oxygen available. If there's insufficient oxygen available, they have to adapt to it in order to survive. And their adaptation to the low oxygen environment is this type of uncontrolled growth.
And of course, the cancer cells can't die.
No, they don't die very easily. And anyone that's had chemotherapy can tell you that in some ways they're more resilient than normal cells. But then on the other hand, in some ways they're more sensitive. For example, and this I found a lot of this in Europe, but hyperthermia, which is raising the patient's body temperature. And they'll do a treatment where they'll raise someone's body temperature to 103, 104 degrees, you know, very carefully medically monitored for half an hour or an hour. And the high temperature will destroy the cancer cells.
Well, what else will it destroy?
Well, there was another doctor that we saw in Germany who destroys them electronically. And by introducing an electrical current, it shrinks them and dries them up and breaks them down into components that are more easily eliminated by the immune system. Now, of course, this method isn't used in isolation of the diet and supplementation and other types of techniques. So it's possible to eliminate, you know, any type of morbid material following the method. But this is a method that was developed by a Swedish doctor who was on the Nobel Prize Committee for Biology and Medicine. He developed this technique of electronically reducing tumors, and it's been practically ignored, except in China, where a couple of years later he was named Scientist of the Year, and they use the method in China and to a limited extent in Europe and also in South America, but I don't know of anyone using it in the United States.
Yes, there is a book out about the German method where they use hyperthermia, as you discussed, mistletoe, mm-hmm. and dendritic injections. Can you tell us what dendritic injections are?
Well, dendritic cells this is a type of immune system function that also gets boosted. And it's a different mechanism from the natural killer cells. And it's actually less researched, but it seems to be uniformly effective to support this dendritic cell formation and activity.
And we're getting down to the end here. I really want to know, are there strategies for dealing with cancer that you know to be effective that are not allowed in the United States but that are accessible in other countries?
Well, I think the electronic tumor reduction is a good example of that. And I think one of the best examples, though, is Laetril. Because Laetril, also called amygdalin, and it's also called vitamin B17, is used for tumor reduction quite a bit in Germany, and it's used in Mexico. And the cancer activist Ralph Moss used to work with Sloan Kettinger, and he found these old Laetril studies. Say, hey, look, this stuff's really effective, and they said, shut up, put that back in the filing cabinet, and don't talk about it.
Well, why would they do that? Why would the powers that be want a cure for cancer, or at least a way of managing cancer, to be shelved?
It's hard to understand. You know, the common response is that it's protectionism from the pharmaceutical company wanting to create patentable, marketable drugs for it. It's, there's evidence of that. You know, it's kind of hard to believe that, but for some reason, Laetril has been particularly a target, to the point where the FDA is even watching out on people who are importing apricot seeds, which is the botanical source for Laetril.
Maybe they're afraid we'll smoke them.
What else?
Speaking of which, what about, do you have experience with cannabis or what we call pot or marijuana?
Medical marijuana.
I don't have experience with that with cancer, except for with cachexia, when people, you know, lose a lot of weight because it stimulates appetite. But I understand now that there's new research that cannabis leaves have substantial and significant anti-cancer factors, And so I know a couple of people that are using them now, but I don't have any direct experience with their effectiveness.
Smoked or eaten or drank as tea or all three?
I think either one, either of those three.
There's actually a good video out called Can Cannabis Cure Cancer that you might want to take a look at. I think you can see it online now for free.
I found that and I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's good.
So
for the last few minutes here, Dan, so this is you. You just found out that there's a tumor in your body. Where do you start? What do you do? Who do you call?
Well, the first thing that I do is I go into a major detox, which I do on a regular basis. I mentioned the Gerson-style detox. I'll do that two or three times a year just for well-being and maintenance. And, you know, when you do that, you feel more in touch with what's going on inside your body. And
briefly, what's involved with a Gerson detox?
Gerson detox involves using it's a type of vegetable soup that you eat that's simmered at a very low temperature so it doesn't destroy too many of the enzymes. It involves using a castor oil twice a week, caffeine retention enemas. Coffee enemas, are not a colonic. They're for the liver and gallbladder to help speed up the detoxification rate. And then there are various supplements that I use depending on, you know, what's going on, but mostly things that support the liver, herbs and things like that to support the liver. In the Gerson program, they also give people thyroid supplementation so that the metabolism is activated enough to discharge and throw off any type of toxic material that might be congesting the cellular environment. And they also have a couple of a type of yogurt, a type of thing that's called quark. But I think a good live yogurt is a good substitute for that. So it's not completely vegetarian. And they also recommend, calf's liver extract or, you know, crude liver, if you can find an organic source for that. So I don't do that whole thing. I do my own version of it. But there are also lots of juices, mostly like carrot, celery, apple juice, and a green juice using cabbage and celery, romaine lettuce, and a little bit of apple. So,
John from Pennsylvania has written in, what do you think of ozone?
Ozone therapy is great. It's once again, you know, this supplies the necessary oxygen that's depleted or that's missing in the cellular environment. So it raises what's called the PO2, which is the oxygen pressure. The oxygen pressure of the cells has to be at a certain level in order for the cells to be able to use it efficiently. And so the ozone will raise this up.
Dan, we're actually almost out of time.
So just to finish here, you'd go on detox. What are the next steps you would take?
Well,
better do it quickly.
It would depend on where the tumor is located. Then I would go for some type of tumor reduction strategy. And that can be botanical, you know, like I said, that can be electronic. I might, you know, choose to go to Europe if I felt like other strategies were not viable. Or, you know, I would say the Dr. Contreras Hospital would also be an excellent choice.
We've been talking with Dan Kenner. Dan, we're just going to have you back. This hour flew by. We've been talking about the whole body workbook for cancer and natural ways of dealing with it. Next week, we will have Bernie Siegel, the great mind-body doctor to talk about the mental ways of dealing with cancer. Dan, you've been excellent with Vivian Simon here on the Progressive Radio Network. You want to give us a last word of advice on dealing with cancer, and we will have you back.
Well, the last word of advice is to be positive. To feel helpless is not good for your immune system or your well-being. And, you know, there are a lot of strategies that can help you not feel helpless.
And remember, folks, cancer is not a death sentence. We've been at the Solarpopia Green Power and Wellness Show. This is Harvey Wasserman with Vivian Simon. Our guest has been Dan Kenner. We'll be back next week with Bernie Siegel. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Well, we bit the apple and the garden was lost. So we had